This is Foresight. A program on how to worship Allah. Today's tip, the secrets of a prayer and ubudiyyah, servitude. Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, the programs of Foresight, and we're talking about ubudiyya and the secrets of a prayer in the name of Allah. So, dear listeners, now continuing to what we were talking about, and of course we were talking about how one of the secrets of prayer, prayer being one of the secrets of ubudiyya, of servitude, is how at the moment of prayer we need to have a presence of heart and we need to have a presence of mind as well as soul. Of course, one of the things that we talked about in the previous segments was to look at the spot of our prostration when we are about to pray and to spiritually focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course to perform our prayers and our munajat and our du'as with humility and humbleness and with a submissiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course knowing what our lowly position or status is when compared to the awesomeness and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we had talked just a little bit about who are those that are successful. Of course, we live in an age where if you're a doctor, you're successful. If you're an engineer, a lawyer, or a Wall Street broker, or a financial analyst, then this means that you are somehow incredibly successful. I mean, there could be no more successful person than a financial analyst or a Wall Street broker, right? We also talked about how success is not measured in wealth or property or material things, but rather the Holy Quran tells us that indeed those who are humble in their prayers are the successful. Subhanallah, something that the majority of the world would have never imagined. Of course, we also talked about how the people who are humble in their prayers and those that are believers, they are conscious of Allah, they're conscious of His power, of His magnificence, especially in this spiritual and physical state of prayer. We talked about how before you start your prayers, you need to realize who you are praying to, who you are standing in front of, what it is that you are about to do. For example, take a few deep breaths so that you calm down in order so that you don't fidget, because it is the Holy Prophet Muhammad who told us via his traditions that a person who fidgets while they are praying or who plays with their beard or plays with their phone or does these kind of things which aren't necessary, right? In the namaz, in the prayers, in the salat, then that prayer is as if they hadn't performed it.
In the name of Allah, assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to this segment of Foresight. My name is Muhammad, and today I'd like to read to you the English translation of an excerpt from Munajatul Shakin, the whispered prayer of the complainers. Please stay with me.
Thank you.
My God, to you I complain of the heart that is hard, turned this way and that by tempting thoughts, clothed in rust and the seal, and of an eye too indifferent to weep in fear of you, and eagerly seeking that which gladdens it. My God, there is no force and no strength except in your power, and no deliverance for me from the detested things of this world save through your preservation. So I ask you by your far-reaching wisdom and your penetrating will not to let me expose myself to other than your munificence, and not to turn me into a target for trials. Be for me a helper against enemies, a coverer of shameful things and faults, a protector against afflictions, a preserver against acts of disobedience. By your clemency and mercy, O most merciful of the merciful.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, the programs of Foresight, and we're talking about Ubudiyya and the secrets of a prayer in the name of Allah. And finally, dear friends, concluding this segment of ours on this session of the secrets of prayer and the secrets of Ubudiyya, of course, dear friends, with respect to the correctness of prayer, the correctness of humility and the correctness of the presence of the heart, mind, and soul is just one aspect when we are talking about increasing our ubudiyya, strengthening our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another one of the interesting things that, for example, we might overlook when it comes to ubudiyya, when it comes to servitude and obedience of Allah, is keeping the trust in relation to the rights of others. Meaning we must be trustworthy with others in our amana. If somebody has given us something, we need to keep that intact and then return it to them when they ask for it. We shouldn't take other people's thing as an amana, as a trust, and then break that trust. You know, not take care of that thing that they told us to take care of, or to not return that thing which they told, us to give back. So, for example, you give somebody money as an amana, as a trust, and you tell them one day I'm going to ask you for this money back. And then, for example, 1 year later, you ask for the money, and this individual does not give you the money back. This is not fulfilling a trust. This is breaking a trust. This is breaking an amana. And it's interesting because here Imam Ali alayhi salam, the first divinely appointed Imam, said to one of his closest companions, Kumail ibn Ziyad, which we also get dua Kumail from, he said to Kumail, "Be watchful of the location where you are praying and what clothes you are wearing. For if your clothes and place for prayers is earned from unlawful income, your prayer will not be accepted." So, a very fine line and intricate and delicate point here. It's not just about heart and mind and soul. It's not just about presence and sincerity, ikhlas and humility and humbleness. It's not just about the power of our prayers, but it also greatly depends, dear friends, upon our fulfilling of our obligations, our wajibat, and refraining from the muharramat, the haram, the prohibited things. And one of the things which is prohibited, which can destroy our ubudiyya and our prayers, is fulfilling a trust. Thanks for listening to this episode of Foresight, dear friends. Now we invite you to listen to Brother Khalil Jaafar.
There are studies that have been done by psychologists who sit in places like shopping malls and observe you and I when we are interacting with others. They say that when a young man is walking in a mall and he sees a group of girls, instinctively he will suck his stomach in, he will take his chest out, he will flex his muscles, and he will walk differently past them. Without knowing, is that fitra? No, that is tabi'a, that is chemistry, that is biology. When a girl sees a man who she thinks is attractive, instinctively she will start flirting, she will bat her eyelids, she will talk softly, she will be a damsel in distress so that he can rescue and be the knight in shining armor for her. But by doing so, she is seeking a mate, and so is he. This, they say, is chemistry, this is biology. So this is the first thing, that we should not confuse fitra and tabi'a, that when we see such behavior, it does not mean that we are opposing that which is natural from Allah. That may simply be a characteristic of our physical body while we live in this plane of existence. That is one thing. The other thing is that because the mind produced this illusory self out of conflict, and it has a very limited scope and believes that it can only solve its problems by acquiring more pleasure and fleeing from physical pain, it assumes this to be the solution to all problems without realizing that the more it seeks pleasure excessively and with an obsession, the more it creates suffering for itself. So the ego, using this tabi'a within the human being, does not know that if I keep looking at this non-mahram again and again, it will not solve any problem. It will just increase my suffering or my frustration. But the ego thinks this is an immediate solution to my problem. So it seeks, it believes that if I have more food, if I have more physical pleasure, then I will be happy, that I will be free from pain. It is incapable of seeing that this is a vicious cycle that does not end. Because it is not the function of tabi'a or the ego to understand where true peace comes from to a human being. The thing is that even if we suppose that these tendencies that we call as quote-unquote natural, why does Islam put restrictions and say hijab and lower your gaze and don't do this and don't eat too much, and even if these things are natural to me, just because they are natural does not mean they're good. There are many things we do that are unnatural, but we do them because we believe there is some goodness in them. Simple examples would be, for example, wearing clothes. Yes, wearing clothes to cover our nakedness, to cover our private parts, that is fitri. Why? Because even before Allah talks about Adam being sent down, when Adam and Hawa eat from that forbidden tree, and Allah, قُلْ نَهْبِتُوا, we talked about this, where Allah says, go down to this plane of existence. Before that, when you read the Quran, you find that as soon as they ate from the tree and they became aware of their own selves, they began looking for leaves and branches of trees and began hiding their nakedness. So that is fitri. It is against your fitra to roam naked, even if people tell you it is natural. But over and above that, the other clothing that we wear is not as such natural, but we do it for other reasons. We do it because of the weather, for example, to protect ourselves from the cold, or we do it to make ourselves look attractive to others. Part of our clothing is the shoes we wear. Is wearing shoes natural? No, it's not.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Foresight. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode and another great tip, fi amanillah, and God bless you all. لبيك قط لبيت لك.
لبيك.